Hello, listeners. Before we get started with today's show, I wanted to give y'all a little PSA, a little something, something. As many of you know, Paper Towns, the novel written by John Green, was recently adapted to a movie and released last week, a couple of weeks ago. I don't know. It depends on when you're listening to this. So, at the end of August, we want to host a Paper Towns book/movie review episode. But that's not the best part. For the first time ever, we would like to invite you listeners onto the show and join us in our Paper Towns discussion. I just said that. There's no turning back now. This is something brand new we've never done before. So if you have Paper Towns thoughts and feels and just want to share that with the world, then write into us at factionfandompodcast@gmail.com in order to be a guest host. Tell us your name, your Gmail address, and your time zone. It does not have to be your full name, but you must have a Gmail account for this to work. We don't know how many guest hosts we want, but the sooner you write in, the better your chances will be. Thank you for your time, and on to the show. If you have interesting thoughts on Caleb and Peter, then stay tuned, because this is Faction Fandom, episode 25. It is our quarter quell. And yes, I have been waiting 20 episodes to be able to make that joke.
I saw the agenda and I was like, oh my god, the quarter quell. I love this.
Since we hit 20 or 21, I've been like, oh my god, when we hit 25, I know what the show title is going to be.
I love you.
Oh.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hello, Alyssa.
Oh, Lord. So,
yes, we do have a lot to talk about today. Before we get into all of that, though, I wanted to ask you a very heavy question.
Okay.
And that is the question we all ask. How do you decide what to read next?
It's a great question.
So most of us have a to-be-read list. We have a list of things we want to read. Some people don't, but...
I don't understand that, by the way.
But when you have a giant list of to-be-read, how do you organize that? How do you, I mean, do you pick things out earlier in the month and decide these are the four things I'm going to read? Do you go off of, like, a whim?
So myself specifically... Mm-hmm. More often than not, it is whatever books I happen to buy at that time. I'll buy a lot of stuff and it's unhealthy and I have a lot of books. But I also have all these little orange dots on the spines of my books.
Okay.
Specific to which ones I haven't read yet. So okay. That way I kind of always know what books I haven't read yet. And they kind of just, like, pop out at me. And every so often, I'll, like, turn to my bookshelf and I'll be like, oh, I should read that. And I'll pick that one up and I'll read that one. Mm-hmm. And I also have a to-be-read jar, which I use infrequently. I like the idea of them and I like looking at it more than I actually like using it. And I also have a to-be-read shelf.
Okay.
Which is not getting a lot of traction right now. But sometimes it's whatever happens to, like, pop up on Tumblr and I go out and I buy the book and that's what I read. Sometimes, like right now, I'm kind of like in a romance kick and it's just a lot of romance novels. And a lot of it right now is also, I'm a reviewer for NetGalley. So I have a lot of books on NetGalley that I need to read.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's where all of my books come from, which is really unorganized and really unfortunate, and I'm getting nothing done.
I have a really big problem with just wanting to reread stuff.
I do too.
And I think it's because I am a very, how do I say this?
I'm a very emotional person. Someone explained this to me once, and I thought, yes, that makes perfect sense. In the sense that I make decisions, blah, 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 blah. I make decisions based on my feelings.
Okay.
When it comes to reading, it's all based on how I feel that day. It's very unorganized. My TBR list is not as big as yours, but I do have a shelf of books that I haven't read yet. I keep them all on a shelf. They're actually bigger than my shelf because it's getting pretty full. So I have a little bit. At this point, I feel like I'm in the middle of 6 different series, and I don't like it.
Yeah, so then at that point, you kind of need to turn around and pick one and finish it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't like Saints, but it's probably a book series that you really enjoy. Like, you love reading this book series, but you're in the middle of that book series and, like, 3 other book series, mm-hmm. and you just have to pick one to finish before you finish the other ones.
I know.
You have to stay with that. So it's a problem, and I don't like using the word forced to in terms of reading, because I don't think anybody should be forced to read anything, even if you do it to yourself. But that said, I do it to myself all the time.
But it bugs me. Like, when I'm in the middle of reading 2 or 3 different series, it bugs me because now I already have 3 other books in line that I have to read, you know, after the next one, and I don't have time for any fun standalone things. So I get what you mean. It's a preference. It's a personal preference. If it bugs you.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I definitely do the same thing. I have to just buckle down.
Yeah, but it's at the end of the day, it's also something that you just enjoy. Like, the book series may just be something that you really enjoy, but you have to buckle down and read it and don't pick up that standalone.
Mm-hmm. Back to our topic.
Yeah, sorry. My bad.
No, it's okay. I just want to come back to this because I like the idea of having a jar where you pull out books. And I think this is interesting that, like, when you pick out the books that you're going to read for the whole month, I limit that. So, you know, there's one classic book you pull out. One book you need to, you know, that on your TBR list. One book that you love to reread. And one book, like an ebook or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just thoughts on how to organize that. I would probably do the same thing you do, though. I would make me a jar and then I would never use it.
Yeah, I never use it. And I hate that. And I feel bad about it. But at the same time, I'm like, okay.
That being
said. Whatever. But I'm also, I'm like 80 books in for the year, right?
Okay.
And I'm kind of feeling like I'm feeling like I don't really want to read any of the books I own right now. Or like I want to read the books that I own, but I want to reread some books. And I'm feeling like I'm pressuring myself to finish this challenge on Goodreads and it's not healthy. And I'm in a space where I'm just not happy about what I'm reading. So I need to go back and reread some stuff that makes me happy.
Definitely. I completely support you on that. Plus, the year's only halfway over. You've got plenty of time to...
I'm 120 books. Out. My challenge is 120 books and I'm 80 books in.
So see, okay, technically, you're over halfway done.
Yes, I am.
It's halfway through the year. July is the 7th month. So, I mean, yes, there you go. You've got plenty of time to stress about that later if you want. On to news. I have no divergent news. As far as the Allegiant movie goes, there's nothing new to report. I saw a couple of contests going on Tumblr for the Allegiant Special Edition, but I think it's too early for them to be able to announce any of that. I'm assuming it's going to come out in October because that's when all the other books came out.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
So I thought to give it some legit, you know, divergent news in there, we would talk about the weirdo names they give the extras. Because I was looking at these. It's so strange.
I'm having so much fun with this. I'm like looking at them right now. My favorite so far is Droopy Babe number 1.
What is that?
I don't know, but I love it.
First of all, when is there a groupie? I mean, is there a band touring? What's going on with that? Second,
I like Fringe. I like Fringe Parent number 3.
Mm-hmm.
I like that one. I mean, but so far there's like no number one. I don't know where number, where's Fringe Parent number one?
I know.
Where's Crush Girl number one? Where's Factionless Dude number one?
The casting people have interviewed a bunch of, you know, extras and decided, we like you, but you're not exactly what we're looking for. So we're going to put you as number two or three.
Yes.
When we find the number one person, which is probably going to be the more beautiful one. Yes. Yes. We'll put that in there.
Another Town Hall Dissenter. Oh, I kinda, that one's fun.
What is it? I like the one that's called Trial Dauntless.
Yeah.
Just what does that Trial mean? Dauntless. Like, it's not a real Dauntless. It's a trial. Like, I don't get that.
What is Dauntless Freedom?
I don't know. She's the entire freedom of the Dauntless. Like, all of that relies on her. I feel the same way about this girl that's listed as Factionless Army.
Like, I love it. I think it's fantastic.
They're going to rampage, you know, everything. And this girl is going to be the one to do it.
The one. I like the Factionless Allegiant. What is a Factionless Allegiant? What does that job look like?
I don't know.
Because I would like to have that job, I think.
Oh, man. You know what gets me the most? Is that all of our favorites, the Factionless Army, Groupie Babe number one, all of these people are listed above Uriah, which means they get paid more than he is.
Like, I know. I don't think that's true. I don't think that's true.
I'm pretty sure that's how that works, isn't it? They
cast, I don't know.
They show them in order of the highest paid actor.
I don't think that's true.
You would think Naomi Watts would be the first one.
I would think Jeff Daniels under would be the first twice. One. So if that's true, then they've like seriously skewed this because Jeff Daniels should be up higher.
Right.
Jeff Daniels is like one of the most well-known adult actors on this page.
Exactly. No. He's a main character.
He's not Groupie Babe number two.
Interesting thoughts. I just thought very
those were hilarious. Those were fun. Thank you. I really appreciated that.
No problem.
That was good.
Moving on. Now, I don't remember your thoughts on Red Queen. I remember you Snapchatting me that you were reading it, but what were your thoughts after reading it?
So, I was really excited halfway through.
Mm-hmm.
There was like a fun twist.
Because you read the ending. Keep going.
No, I did read the ending, but there was a fun twist in the middle somewhere, and then it lost me. I stopped caring. And at one point I just sat there and was like, this was one of those books that I almost didn't finish. And
really?
Yeah, it was bad. But I did make myself finish it. I did finish it. And you know, it was interesting and I liked the idea of the books. I don't know that I'm gonna like run and go buy The Glass Sword when it comes out immediately.
Mm-hmm.
I probably will read the next one, but it was very draining for me for some reason.
Well, that stinks.
I found them all incredibly pithy.
I thought it was very stereotypical, cliche dystopian, but I liked that about it.
Yeah, I just, like, at that point, I think I've read so many of those that I just was, like, done. It also reminded me a lot of Red Rising in some ways.
A lot of people said that.
You know, I didn't realize, it was one of those books that I was sitting there and I was reading and I was like, okay, it sounds vaguely familiar to me. Like, it's reading like I should be understanding this in a way that I already did. And then I saw that someone else commented that it was a lot like Red Rising. And I was like, oh, my God, it was. And I like Red Rising a lot more. I thought the writing was much better in Red Rising.
Hmm. Okay.
That said, the Glass Sword cover is gorgeous.
It is really
I really like the covers of these books. It's minimal, and I love it.
I like minimalistic covers, too. I can't stand it when there are people on a cover.
I'm getting really sick of the girls in ball gowns.
That's probably one of the only reasons I won't read the selection.
I have no interest in reading it
because I just look at the cover and I think, no. Why? No,
I'm so there with you. Honestly, that was one of the first books I read with a girl in a ball gown. So It didn't bother me so much at that point, but now it really does. And I like those books. I think they're fun. I'm having a really hard time with The Air, which is the fourth book in that series. And I'm just sitting there going, no.
See, that's why I didn't start it. Like, why get myself into
No,
that?
Because, but the problem is you don't actually, like, The Air actually could be a completely different situation. It's like a standalone.
Okay.
It's you don't have to read it.
Is it supposed to be a spinoff? Is it supposed to be like a companion book?
It's basically a companion book with the same characters. It's weird. It's weird. I'm not a huge fan, mostly because I don't like the girl a lot, like at all.
The main reason why I really liked The Glass Sword is, on the one hand, I like that it's simplistic.
And Red
I
Queen?
Like that, yeah, the new cover.
Okay.
Because at first glance, I'm thinking, okay, it's just a nicer looking crown, but it's kind of the same cover. But then when you look at the detail on it, it's got silver blood on the crown too.
Yeah.
Because now it's got me wondering, well, who's going to bleed silver then? Who's going to die? Like, who, I mean.
Well, I know who I want to die.
All these thoughts. Well, yeah, of course we all know who we want to die, but probably won't happen until, you know, the final finale.
Probably.
I'm going to guess. But that came out. I just like that I caught on to that like 30 minutes after it happened. I was at IHOP having my 57-cent pancakes. And I'm checking Twitter while my friend's in the bathroom. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. I actually get news. You know, Twitter is actually working for me like it's supposed to. And I get news. And
yeah,
I was super excited about that.
Nice.
But for those people who do like The Red Queen, that new cover is out. And we're super pumped about it. And if you're not fans of The Red Queen, Alyssa, you're still pumped about it. So,
I like the covers. I do. And that's part of that's like one of the reasons I like first got into it. I loved the cover.
Really?
Yeah. I think the cover's stunning.
Well, there you go.
You know, I just was not hugely a fan. Kind of the same way I'm not hugely a fan of To Kill a Mockingbird. Do you like my segue there?
I did like that. Speaking of To Kill a Mockingbird, apparently this is another downer news for Alyssa. But we all know Harper Lee. To Kill a Mockingbird is one of those classics that all Americans have to read in school at some point. And if you don't have to read it, I am impressed by your school.
I don't know how that happened, but more power to you.
I'm impressed.
And I'm jealous. I'm jealous.
Okay. Well, but still, it is July now in the middle of the exhausting heat. And Ghost at a Watchman is now coming out next week, I believe.
On the 14th.
Yeah, next Tuesday.
Yes, it is.
So
there's a lot of controversy around it. Yeah, so basically Ghost at a Watchman is the book that Harper Lee originally wrote and tried to get published and couldn't get it published. And then they suggested that she writes something from Scout's point of view earlier. Like, why was she so impressed with her father? Like, what was that whole situation? Write about that. So that's where To Kill a Mockingbird came from. And
okay.
So this is a manuscript that has been around for a while, but Harper Lee never actually wanted it to be published after her whole experience with To Kill a Mockingbird.
Which is why there was so much uproar about why she was publishing it
at such an old age.
And why she signed the rights for someone else to publish it.
She didn't.
She signed that over to them. Whether it was morally right for them to let her do that.
I have a lot of issues with it. I have a lot of issues with what happened there. Like, they found it in their attic, which they were sharing with Harper Lee at the time. I'm like, that's such bullshit.
I mean, essentially, Harper Lee is old. She's like, what, 80,
88 or something.
Eight, 88 like that. And she does suffer from dementia.
Yep.
And her family knows this.
Yep.
And her lawyer, who apparently has her power of attorney.
Just stupid.
Thinks it's okay to release this book that she never published, you know, in her entire life. All of a sudden at the end of her life. And on the one hand, people are excited to get the book. But on the other hand, I don't like the way it was done.
I don't like the way it was done. And
I mean, everyone has said that she was coherent at the time that she signed papers, that, you know, family came in and witnessed that she was fine. But at the same time, I just don't. If a woman has never published anything and she's that old, I'm not going to ask my grandmother, who is around the same age, hey, can we go through something you've never let me do before? Because I think you'd let me do it now.
Yeah. I have a lot of issues with the way it was published, the way it's been the way it's coming out, and I just, you know, first off, don't like the first one. So
does that mean you're not going to buy it?
Nope.
Okay.
No, I am not. I will be one of those rare few people who of the book persuasion that don't buy the book. That's okay.
In that case, I will let you know what I thought of it. Once I read it in like 3 months.
That would be awesome. Thank you. I'm sure that I will hear a lot of other things on the interwebs. And I'm sure that that's like Ghost of the Watchmen is going to be on next year's summer reading list. So I'll hear a lot about that next year anyway.
But moving on.
I like going to the movies, but I don't go all that frequently. And I typically go with other people. So inevitably, I end up talking during the movie because it's usually somebody that I like and I know really well. So the movie that I have seen most recently in the theater has been Jurassic World. Now, I have seen it 3 times.
Oh, I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that.
Nor should you, because it's completely accurate. I saw it the first time with my brother and my best friend. And then on Father's Day, I saw it with my brother, my mother, my sister, and my father, who never goes to the movies.
Ooh.
So this was very exciting for us. And then I saw it with another friend of mine when he was out a couple weeks ago. And in every single one of those viewings of this movie, I have made some comment of some kind. At least once.
I can't help it.
I can't help it. And that movie was just so, so easy to have comments about.
It is. It really is.
It makes me happy. I love it. It's fun.
I screamed. I screamed quite a bit.
Didn't we all?
There's just, it's, you know the thing that, and I know a lot of people criticize Jurassic World, but at the end of the day, I'm going to the movies to see something that'll kill my brain cells a little bit and let me get lost. Like, I'm not going to the movies to analyze it at all. I'm going to the movies to get away from the outside world, spend some time with my friends, and have some fun. And exactly. It did that. It did all the things I wanted it to do for me.
It's all I needed it to do. And it was perfect. I don't need, but it's exactly what you said. I don't need to analyze movies. I have critics to do that for me. I don't need to do it myself. I do it enough for the rest of my life. I just want to enjoy a mindless movie that, you know, may have a plot. It could have a plot. A plot would be nice, but I don't necessarily need it all the time.
No.
For example, like, so Jurassic World is basically at its core a dinosaur movie. And you can't escape that. There really shouldn't be a whole lot of plot to it. The Jurassic movies, I don't know if you noticed this, have a core plot line.
Every single one of them.
Every single one of them have a core plot line. And that core plot line includes a sarcastic older man, at least one child in danger, a sassy, smart woman. And an idiot. And also, there has to be a dinosaur battle of some kind. And a dinosaur escaping.
Right. I also feel like there's, you know, there's also a douche in there somewhere who...
The douche is usually combined with the idiot.
They're doing something and you're just, this is not helping the cause at all.
Yes, this is true. And it's usually the one guy that gets eaten.
True. So there's nice, that's nice for us as an audience.
There's poetic justice to their idiocy.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to know that at the end of the day, that it's just going to be a very silly dinosaur movie. And I think it goes into what you were saying earlier, is that people were criticizing it because it's not, there's not a whole lot to it. But really, what did you want out of it except for dinosaurs beating on each other?
Yeah, eating people, screaming, running away.
Yes,
it's great.
It's fantastic.
I will say, when it comes to like casualties, this one was probably the most intense because it is an actual park.
Yes,
like
it actually functioned as a park this time around.
But you love that.
I loved every minute of it. It was beautiful. It was poetic justice. They needed more teeth. Those are not all of my feels about Jurassic World, but that was a lot of them. I had a lot of feels about Jurassic World. I loved it so much.
Did you have anything you didn't like?
I think it pissed me off probably more than was necessary that she makes it through the entire movie in that skirt and those shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Also, that it seems to happen over the course of 24 hours.
It does happen in 24 hours.
And that bothered me. I don't know why that bothered me, but it bothered me intensely.
Not even 24 hours, like a whole day.
Yeah.
12 hours, maybe. It takes longer.
Yeah. So we'll just call it a solid 12 hours from the minute the kids step on the island to when the Indominus gets eaten.
Crazy.
It's ridiculous.
It is nuts.
Now we've done? We have now analyzed the movie, and I hate myself for it.
We did exactly what we said we didn't want to do.
Yes! This is so irritating. Oh, I'm so sad now. Sorry. Okay, we're going to stop. Let's stop now.
Okay. Now it is time to do some chapter by chapters.
Do we want to do Paper Towns?
Oh, I forgot about Paper Towns. Yeah, go for it. I forgot. Well, it does come out at the end of the month.
It does.
July 24th.
Yay. I mean, so my thing is with this particular John Green book, I don't know if you saw this, but I got kind of attacked on Tumblr the other day.
Did you? No, I've been off Tumblr in the past couple of days.
Like, not really attacked, but like I opened myself up to Anons, and a lot of people
already worried about this.
A lot of people were really coming down on John Green, and I really like John Green, basically. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it brings up the whole conversation about John Green's manic pixie girl situation. And Paper Towns is, like, one of the prime examples of manic pixie girls. So I'm kind of intrigued to read it again. So I'm going to have to read it before the movie comes out. Oh, maybe that's what I'll read tonight. Yeah, maybe I'll read that and, you know, kind of come back on it. But it's like, I mean...
Nothing good happens when you open yourself up to a nun. So.
No, this is true. I had, you know, honestly, though, I had a lot of really good anons. I had a lot of really good questions. I had a lot of really good comments. And I happened to have, like, three really cranky people that, like, anoned me. And it was really unfortunate.
Okay, are we ready now for chapter
two? I'm ready now. Are you ready now?
Sure.
So, thus we begin our never-ending segment of chapter by chapter. One day it will end when we finish Allegiant, but that is not this day. That is not this day. So, we left off with Triss and Four in Erudite as prisoners, and Janine running simulation tests on Triss, which is just generally unfun. And I believe we left off with Triss kind of laughing in Janine's face, like, what were you thinking? This isn't going to work. And to get back at Triss for this. Janine tortures Tobias in a really unfortunate way. And then injects Triss with this super fierce serum. And it's just interesting because we show once again that her fear is crows, but also that Tobias dies. And Janine does this so that Tobias will reveal where the factionless are. And toward the end of this whole ordeal for the two of them, the unthinkable happens. Caleb walks in.
Oh, Caleb.
Not cool.
This was the moment in this book that I fell apart, I think. Yeah, so he apparently is a traitor in the sense that he's working with Janine. And that's not okay. It's not good.
It's not.
But before we can get a chance to talk to Caleb, Triss and, you know, Peter are taking one of their long jaunts down the Dauntless Hall. Hall. As they do, yes. And Tobias sort of like does this attack and run thing where he grabs Triss. They're like in the same hall at some point. And before she knows it, she's like running away with Tobias, but they don't leave, which is interesting. And yes. Instead, he like pulls her in a closet and he's like, I just want to find the control room and to tell you to hang in there because people are coming for us. So do that.
Then she wakes up and Caleb is standing inside her bedroom and they start talking and they have this whole conversation about how it's about something bigger and how it's not just about what she thinks is right. It's about what's right for the community and how everything is subjective. We find out that she really does hate him now, even more than she did before. And mostly it's because he's siding with Erudite. And in her mind, that makes him a evil traitor. Whereas in his mind, you know, it just makes him on the side that's logically correct. And then Janine explains to Triss why she's divergent. And I'm trying to find the quote.
It's something about, like, her medical things. I wrote it down.
Something about
multiple.
You have an abundance of a particular kind of neuron called, quite simply, a mirror neuron. And we find out that mirror neurons fire both when one performs an action and when one sees another person performing that action, allowing us to imitate the behavior. And it allows for learning language, understanding people's intentions based on behavior, and empathy. Also, creating a flexible personality.
What do you think about all of the science-y things happening while she's here in Erudite? Because they do a lot of that explanation.
They do. And I think it's one of those things that I consistently forget to do when I'm reading this. Is I mean to like Google mirror neurons.
I know. I want to do the same thing.
You know what? I'm going to do that right now.
Because I want...
Hey! Hey, it's real!
It's real.
Love that. I love it when authors...
Surprise, they did just make it up.
It's real. They didn't just make up your neurons. And it's exactly what Janine and the Erudites explain it as. It's really fascinating. And it's kind of a lot of fun to have these, you know, specific scientific explanations about what's happening and why they're doing it. And it's really interesting. And
it
then
kind of feels like I'm having a school lesson while also enjoying the book.
It does. But so then in the middle of the night, Tobias wakes her up and he's trying to escape and they're trying and it's like they're not ready yet. They're not in time. And
it's early.
It's too early. And then she figures it out. She knows that it's a simulation and she breaks out of it. So Janine freaks the frick out, and Triss tries to attack her, but she says, pain can't make me tell you, truth serum can't make me tell you, simulations can't make me tell you, I'm immune to all three. And all this after she's like punched her in the face.
I know. Which is beautiful. I like that she scratched her skin and that she's got like claw marks. Anybody with pets, cats or dogs or puppies, know what it's like to have your pet scratch you and then see that welt on your skin. And it's like, but to have that on your face, it's,
oh God. It's brutal.
Anyway, it's intense.
It is.
I love that she's all smug about it. What do you think about, I have to come back to Caleb because I'm obsessed with him, apparently. Reading this a second time through, what do you think of Caleb's betrayal? Do you think his argument is valid?
You know, honestly, I can understand it. I think, to a degree, evil is subjective. Like, we'll go back to Jurassic World for a second. When the doctor says, you know, to a mouse, a cat is a monster. So it's just this, like, really interesting dynamic. And I understand what he's saying. And I get it to a degree. But at, like, the same time, not really.
Knowing how the book ends, and you don't have to read the third book to know this, but, you know, knowing how the video goes at the end of the book, it's just, I have a whole new outlook on Caleb, I guess.
He just believes what he's doing is right. He believes that what Janine is doing is for the best of the community. Mm-hmm. And I mean, to a certain degree, you can kind of argue that even ISIS is doing what they're doing because it's for the best of what they believe in. And that's me playing devil's advocate. I don't believe that in any way, shape, or form.
His morals are warped.
His morals are warped.
What is right and wrong in his mind is different from like, most the generic people. Population. Yeah.
Yes.
I totally get that, too. I forget that. The first three or four times, I guess, when I've read this book, because I've always felt like it was a giant betrayal, that Caleb was just this evil person. And rereading this now, maybe it's because I have to write this, you know, the outline out, and it makes me have to really think about what the bullet points are. But Caleb's not the one who turned her into Erudite.
No.
He simply told Janine about Triss. And contrary to what the movie says, Janine didn't demand that Triss come specifically. She wanted a divergent.
Yeah.
And if Triss wasn't one of the more fantastic divergents out there, she probably would just kill her and not run tests on her. So in a way, it works out for in her favor that Janine knows this information because it keeps her alive.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I can't forgive someone who's siding with the people who killed my parents. Even if it was my brother, I wouldn't be able to stand by him.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe it's because I've read so many books and I've been a journalist that I just kind of, I look at all sides and I try to understand what it is exactly that's going on.
But moving on to chapter 34, though. After all of that happens, because Triss attacked Janine, Peter walks in and announces to her, while she's all mopey and thinking about her parents and life and stuff, that her execution has been moved up to, like, the next day. So Triss is a goner now. She's going to die for what she did, apparently. Before he leaves, he tells her that it's 9:24. And this is interesting because all this time that she's been in Erudite and Peter has been her guard, she's been asking for the time. And, you know, after all this has happened, he finally is giving her sort of this small piece.
Yeah.
Which really should, you know, hint or foreshadow a little bit of what's going to happen next. But it's very interesting to his personality. And that's it.
And that's it for chapter 34. And then in chapter 35, Peter walks in. He tells her that it's time. And then you know, we hear Tobias shouting, and he's like, I want to see her. And then maybe he, like, gets to see her for a brief second.
Yeah, their window moment.
They have their window moment, which is cliche, and I hate it. Which is, oh my God, it explains so much about my life. Anyway, Peter straps her down on this massive table. It's not fun. She's like, I don't want to die. And then he says, weirdly, creepily, be brave, Triss.
I know. And like, then, all of a sudden, he's turned into this
nice guy.
Somewhat comforting person.
Yeah. And I'm not okay with it.
You know, final words.
Not okay with it. And then he injects her with a thing. And then the heart monitor stops. And she's dead.
Yep. The end. The book ends.
It's over now.
Yeah. Only she's not dead.
Only she's not dead. And we have like 20 more chapters.
She's like just paralyzed.
She's fine.
Which is, okay, side note. Have you ever seen that movie with Christian Hitt? I don't know his name. The dude from Star Wars. Where it goes under the operating table and he's paralyzed and the morphine didn't work. And so they're operating on him when he can feel everything, but he can't say or move to inform them that he can feel everything.
I hate everything about that. No, there's a reason I didn't see that.
So that's what this kind of reminded me of. I'm like, oh my God, that's like the most torturous movie ever, because I would hate that idea. Of being conscious while not being able to move or say anything. Anyway, but that's where she is. Because apparently Peter just is saving her life. He grabs Tobias and Triss looks like she's dead. And he throws her down the trash chute. And I think she jumps, actually. But the point being is that he somehow did like a little magic trick and switched out the serums and didn't kill her. And we find out later all of this is because he felt like he owed her. She saved him way early in the book while they were at Amity. And so he felt like he owed her a debt. So he saves them both. He gets them out of the erudite compound. And they get all the way up to abnegation eventually. Tobias cleans them up. And that's when they have their moment where Triss is like, by the way, I love you. I wish I would have said it sooner. And he's like, say it again. Very Twilight-esque.
Oh, it's so Twilight-esque.
And that's how this chapter ends. I have a lot of thoughts on this last chapter, though. One of Peter's lines is when he's rescuing them and they're in the trash incinerator. And he tells her, don't say I never took you anywhere nice. Is that not a line from another book or movie?
I feel like
it is.
I don't know what it is.
I'm getting major deja vu about the sarcasm.
It does sound like I've heard that before, and I've Googled it, and I just don't know where it's from. But it could just be that it's a line that sounds like other lines.
It could be like a cliche line where
it could be a cliche line, which is probably why I get it. Probably why I hate it.
But speaking, you hate a lot of things.
I do.
I eat cliche moments up for breakfast. And
I know you
like,
do.
So cynical about it.
I'm like, fuck everybody.
That's okay. That's why we're different people. That's okay.
That's why this works so well.
Exactly. If we had the same opinions, it would be so freaking boring.
It'd be super boring.
But Peter, do you know anybody who thinks like him? Like, do favors for people only on a scale of what they owe them?
Not personally. I don't. They seem to be a really big trope in novels.
Okay.
Like in fantasy novels, they're like a thing. It's a thing. There are people who only do things on a scale of what they'll get back from someone else. And
yes.
It's a thing that people do in novels, particularly fantasy and dystopic novels, I find.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't actually know anybody like that in real life.
That makes sense that you say that, because now that I'm thinking about it, like in the original writings of like fairy tale creatures, they're all very, I'll do you a favor for a price kind of thing.
Yes.
I don't know people who are like him on the same level, but I do know people who, you know, can't stand owing people.
Yeah.
I don't feel like he likes owing Triss, if that makes any sense.
No, I mean, there are some people like, who simply, at the end of the day, don't like owing people favors or what they perceive to be favors. Like, you could do something nice for someone, and that person will come around and be like, okay, well, what do you want now?
His mindset is very interesting.
He's an interesting guy. I find as the books go on, he's much more interesting.
He's definitely a fan favorite. That is the book so far. We're going to end there.
I think that seems like a great ending spot. Next chapters. It brings us really close to the end, actually. Like, we could just have two more shows. Yeah, let's do 42, and then we'll do 43 to the end next time, or the last time. Then you'll finally get me to read Allegiant.
I'm super excited about that. Yeah, 37 to 42. I agree. I'll mark it in my book.
Okay.
And then I'll put my bookmark back in there. Anyway, today's game. On to the game. We're going to play this thing called Backwards, and it's an app where you say a word and then it plays it to your partner backwards and they have to guess what it is, essentially.
Yeah.
And I think the best way for us to do this is when we're talking, like saying the word that we're choosing, to just mute it.
Okay.
Yeah, I sent Alyssa a word earlier today, and she's going to play it, and we'll see how she guesses it.
Oh, sorry.
Can you hear that?
Yeah, I can hear it.
Okay, hold on.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry, I was outside. That's why there's the wind there.
Oh, sorry.
Hold on. Rosary.
Here's our.
No, I got it wrong. I don't know what it is.
Did it tell you?
No, not yet. Hold on. Rosary.
Think about what I've been reading.
Oh. Parasol.
Yeah.
I didn't hear that at all. I heard rosary.
I know. It's weird. So it's interesting. Luckily, I think it'll be a bit easier because we're going to stick to the divergent theme.
All right. I'm going to mute you now and send you back
your rebuttal. Okay. So this is your official first round. I'm nervous now.
It has been sent.
All right, I'm fixing to play it. Tap to listen.
Yeah, dear.
What?
Yeah, dear. Yeah, dear.
Yeah, dear. I'm trying to say it backwards. It ends with an N and starts with a vowel. That's all I got from that. Okay, here, I'm going to try to say it backwards. Yai Duri.
Yai Duri.
I don't know what it is. Erudite? Yay, I got it right! I kept seeing Alyssa's like reaction in the screen, like, oh my gosh, I'm so nervous now.
I can't believe you got that.
I'm gonna mute you now. Here.
Okay.
I think of a good one. Okay, I sent it. Waiting on Alyssa.
Fudge.
I'm gonna think of some good background music for this.
Hold on. All right.
Sayabas.
Tobias. Oh. Tobias. Yay!
It's interesting.
It's a fascinating game.
It's an interesting little app.
It's an interesting little, like, experiment.
It is.
Oh, okay. It's funny. Do you want to do another round?
Yeah, let's do another round.
All right, I'm going to
make it hard words.
Okay.
I gotta think of a word while she does that.
I sent it to you.
It's your turn, it says.
It is your turn.
Okay. What?
Shneedla.
It sounds like Sims Wars is what it sounds like.
It is Sims language, exactly what it is.
Shishnijla.
I have no idea. It sounds like Egypt. Oh, hold on, Snippy, I know what it is. Allegiant? Did I get it right? Hold on, I'm gonna see. Don't tell me. Yeah, I got it right! Ugh, that sounds so weird. Man. Alright, I'm gonna mute you.
Okay.
Okay, you should get it in a second.
Okay.
Hanitsu.
What?
Hanitsu.
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 What?
Christina.
Oh. Christina? I got it right!
Good job. Yay. Virtual high five. Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness.
That is fun.
That is fun. This would be amusing. I don't know if it's actually ever going to work, but...
I don't know.
Like,
but
I don't know if it's ever going to be a thing.
No, it's not going to be, like, trivia crack.
No.
Or anything. But it's fun for our purposes, I feel.
It is.
And surprisingly a little easy.
It is.
That or we're very good. We might be very excellent at this game.
I'm going to run with we're very excellent at this game.
Maybe next time if we play, we'll have to include other series.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe. I think we both won. Applause for us.
I think we did.
Now, moving on to our final segment. Of course, we recommend you books because we read too much to not be able to talk about it.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. So, Alyssa, do you have something in mind you'd like to recommend today?
I need a minute.
Me too, because I feel like I'm running out of things. And no, I think I got something.
Okay, you go first.
I'm going to recommend The Host by Stephenie Meyer. A lot of people give Stephenie Meyer a lot of flack for Twilight, and that's fine. But I really loved this book. And I feel like a lot of people who didn't like Twilight liked this book as well. And it's very interesting. It's very dystopian-ish, so it kind of falls in that same genre. But it's about, like, the future of Earth and aliens coming to invade us. But it's not like Independence Day aliens. It's more like aliens come and inhabit your body. So you're still walking around as a person in your body, but it's like a completely different mind. Like your mind is lost, which is why it's such a bad thing, because you're killing off souls, which is why it's called a host. They're a parasite. They need hosts to survive. And basically about this one girl who has a really strong, I would say a really strong mind, and an alien is invested into her body. And this is a kind of alien who's in her line of work. She's used to getting information, and she's been to a lot of different planets and yada yada. And the girl, because she's so strong-minded, she sort of fights off the alien in her mind. It sounds very sci-fi, but it's not. It's a very dry desert kind of dystopian genre, but it's very interesting and it's very cool. And I liked it a lot, and I like to reread it. And it's a big book, but it's one of my faves.
Good. I've come up with my book. Recently on Tumblr, Butter My Books held a read-a-thon or a read-along.
Okay.
For a book series called The Elementals, and it ruined my life. It's a 5-book series, and I started in it thinking it was going to be like adult romance novel fluff. But no, it's YA fluff with actual plot. And I wasn't expecting that. And I got about 50 pages into the first book, which is called Storm. This is by Bridget Kemmerer. And I get about 50 pages into the first book, and I sent Summer a message on Tumblr. And I said, I need your cell phone number so that I can text you about my feels. This is like in the middle of June. And so I basically just started spamming her with text messages about my emotions about these books. And honestly, it's really fascinating. So it's the Elemental series by Bridget Kemmerer. The first book is called Storm. The second book is called Spark. And then there's Spirit, Secret, and Sacrifice. And they're all based around these 5 boys in the small town in Maryland. And there 4 of them are brothers. One of them is not. And they all kind of, they find their one true love. But it's really like barely about that. What it's really about is the fact that these 5 boys have powers.
Ooh.
Powers over the elements.
I was going to say, are they elemental powers?
They are elemental powers. Each one has power over specific ones. So there's like water, earth, fire, and wind. And there's just a lot of drama and a lot of things I wasn't expecting. And it's really kind of great because it's centered around boys having these problems. Like, not only are they having problems with, like, powers, but they're having problems with girls. And I think I love that a lot. So this was it's a fun series. They're easy reads. They're short. They're sweet. They don't require a lot of brain power. But at the same time, if you're looking for fluff and you pick these up, you're going to get a lot more than fluff.
Okay.
So you need to be prepared for that. And I was not prepared for that. And I just want everyone else to be prepared for it, just in case they pick it up.
As a personal request, can you recommend a good standalone into the point where I'm so sick and tired of reading books that I find out are series later? Yeah.
Yeah. My favorite contemporary bit of fluff is Colleen Hoover's Maybe Someday.
Okay.
And I love it a lot. And I love it partially because there's a soundtrack that's connected to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can go on iTunes and look up Maybe Someday. And I love the songs. I love the singer. I love the whole... I honestly bought the album before I read the book. And I would highly suggest getting the album at the same time, just so that you can have those references, because it's about songwriting, and having the songs to listen to is usually, I find, nice. Pretty helpful. It's nice to have that.
I won't be able to read it for a while. I've just noticed I got done reading. Oh, I should have recommended this book. Oh, well, I'll recommend it next time. Mm. But I just got done reading a Michael Buckley book, and I can't remember what it's called now. And when the book ends, I realize it's the first book in a series, and I'm like,
yeah, I'm getting kind of sick of series, honestly.
I don't mind series. I would just like to know before I read the book if it's going to be a series. And I feel like authors don't announce that until a month after their book comes out. So in the time that it takes me to read the book, I have to finish it to realize what it entails. But those are some good recommendations. I'll definitely check out Colleen Hoover. And for anybody who's listening, if you would like to recommend me or Alyssa something, one, good luck, because you heard us talk about our, you know, TBR list. But
well, no.
Also,
I'm always down. I am always down for someone to recommend me something.
Me too. I don't want to read through something that's mediocre. I want to read through something that's good, obviously. And the best way to get that is through others' opinions. So recommend stuff to us if you'd like. You can email us at factionfandompodcast@gmail.com. We love the emails. If you don't want to email in, if you just want to check us out on our website, factionfandom.com, that's cool too. If you want to follow us on Tumblr, and our Tumblr is faction-fandom.tumblr.com. It's not like a legit website for Divergent. Mostly it's a lot of GIFs. We post a lot of type and Divergent GIFs. Quotes. And a lot of Divergent. but if you're into Twitter, you can follow us on FFandom Podcast on Twitter as well. Did you want to plug yourself at all, Alyssa?
If you'd like to follow me on Tumblr, I am bookblog.tumblr.com. As always, I am never endingly surprised to have received that particular title on Tumblr. And please always feel free to hit me up and like send me messages. I'm so down for that.
You can follow me at A Fierce Fangirl. I'm not a book blog. I am a fandom blog, and that's why I also rant about a lot of stuff because sometimes Facebook isn't good enough.
I don't post a lot of things on Facebook that I would post on Tumblr. And I don't post a lot of things on Tumblr that I would post on Facebook.
I've been pretty good about sharing stuff on Facebook that I find on Tumblr. Most of it was 4th of July related. But I mean,
I had a really good 4th of July picture. Oh, you can also follow me on Instagram.
Ooh, Alyssa has an Instagram.
I do have an Instagram. I've had an Instagram for years. And I'm really trying to, now that I've like kind of branded myself, I'm really trying to push my Instagram a little bit more.
Okay.
My Instagram, you can follow me on Instagram at a bookish blog. And
was a book blog taken?
It was. I was very disheartened. I'm by sorry. That. And I don't even think a book blog does anything on Instagram. It makes me cranky.
What? Let me tell you something. I feel you, because Faction Fandom is taken on Twitter. There's literally nothing there.
It makes me cranky.
Oh, please don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes, because that helps us a lot too.
Yes, thank you.
And thank you so much. And tune in next time for our thoughts on whatever we talk about then. See you later. Bye.
Bye.
If you, thank you, internet. I love you. Great. We had this whole discussion in a class one time, and the professor was like, I'm going to make an entire movie theater. I'm going to own it, and it's going to serve alcohol, and I'm going to be able to arrest people and throw them out if they talk at all during the movie, because I won't do that. And I thought,
then don't serve alcohol in the movie theater. If we lived in that world and we already knew that velociraptors were like super dangerous and they killed people and they were very intelligent, why would you make them again?
If I'm going to actually make one of these parks realistically, there are only going to be herbivores.
Yes.
No T-Rexes.
Nope.
No velociraptors.
Nope.
No mutant hybrids.
No, definitely no mutant hybrids. Like, the guy who takes care of all of the packages at my front desk of my apartment building, we're, like, on first-name terms. Hmm. Because I'm down there so often to pick up books. I don't know. My favorite Anon message I got, fuck John Green. And my response to that was, well, he's married and has kids, but okay.
Oh my gosh.
I don't want to know because it's Pokemon and I'm judgy about Pokemon.
Don't. Hey.
But anyway.
Hey. No, we need to take a moment right now before you go any further. If you're going to judge me for my love of Pokemon, then we are going to have some serious problems.
I'm not judging people for loving Pokemon. What I'm judging is the series itself.
Okay.
Y'all can love whatever you want to love. My personal belief is that Pokemon is a little ridiculous. And it's
animal a lot slavery, ridiculous.
And it's animal slavery, and I don't like it.
Okay. I could see your point on that. But do you ever feel like Tumblr reminds you a lot of, like, chat rooms back in the early 90s?
Yes.
As a kid, I was warned about chat rooms and how, like, there are a bunch of pervs on there and a bunch of serial killers and ridiculous people on there to avoid. Who is to say that there's not some ridiculous person following me on Tumblr? And I can be, like, best friends with this person and feel like I have a connection with this person and, like, message them all the time. But if I ever wanted to meet them, they could, like, chop my head off.
Oh, completely.